Hey, guys.
Hello, Hope Valley.
Hey, church family. We miss you guys so much. It's been such a blessing to have Jared here, even for a couple of days, and get to see Rick as well. But we wish we could have seen all of you. We are so very grateful for you, grateful for your love and support. We literally feel your prayers for us, and we honestly do not think that we could be here day in and day out without your prayers and your love and support. We are so very grateful for each of you, for how you have poured into our lives, how you prepared us to come here, and also how you have sustained us in ways that you don't even know. Through a simple text, through a video, just reminding us that you love us and that you're praying for us. You have no idea the number of times where we were struggling and we would just get a simple message from one of you. And so we just want you to know what a huge role you play in our ministry here in Bali. And we love you so much.
And as far as, you know, thankfulness and things that we're thankful for, you know, in the Christian walk, there's times when you think you've reached a plateau and you've learned everything there is to know about the love of God. And you know it academically, you know that his love is so big and you'll never, but practically you think, okay, I got this figured out. But then he manifests his love in different ways and you see just how big it is. And I just want to go off of what she said, to see it manifest through the body of Christ, which is his bride, the church. That has been one of the, if you were to ask me what I'm thankful for, it would be that. That's not an exaggeration. That's not hyperbole. We are thankful for you. We're thankful that you sent us. We're thankful that you're holding the rope, that you pray for us. Like she said, we get the most random messages at the most appropriate times. And it can only be the work of God's love through Hope Valley Church. And so we are incredibly thankful.
A couple things that we are so grateful for since we've arrived is truly just God's grace in the transition and how he has cared for us and allowed the transition here to be smooth. And there were a lot of things that were unexpected that we didn't understand or know about the Balinese culture, the Balinese people. But one thing that has been an incredible blessing is the hunger of the believers here. And God has given us opportunities to come alongside believers who were lonely and hungry, who had maybe never been a part of a Bible study. There are several ladies in our church who had never been taught really how to read the Bible in a way that allows them to study or dig deep into the Bible. And they literally come to the table drinking so deeply from the Word of God. And God has poured out his Spirit and is showing them his love for them just simply through his Word. And that has been something for me that has been the most incredible joy, is just to see God drawing near to his daughters through the study of the Word. And that is something that has, even on the hardest days, just pushed me and given me such a great joy to be able to be here. I think that that's probably the way that I have seen God's hand the greatest here.
Okay, so you've heard about people encouraging us and staying in touch. And we love to hear from you. And there's probably a lot of people that are new to Hope Valley. So just be aware that you know, we are on Facebook. We do have email, most of your major platforms. Just speak with the pastors there and see what the best way to do it is. But we regularly update people, or try to at least, on what's going on in Bali and what the mission looks like. And of course, if you're on social media, that's a good way to see what like day-to-day life looks like. We try to keep it updated. We're learning how to do that more and more. We've been here 6 months now. So it's a work in progress. But I want to encourage you to take ownership. If you haven't already, just take ownership of the fact that we are being sent out from Hope Valley Church. So please feel free to touch base with us, and we'd love to hear from you.
And come visit. We love y'all.
All right. Those are our missionaries in Bali, Indonesia. If you are if you're new here at Hope Valley, or maybe you actually, if you're new in the past 6 months, you probably didn't get a chance or privilege to meet the Johnson family. They are precious to us, and they've been sent out to a really difficult mission field there in Bali, and I was able to visit them this past week for just a few days, and it was so sweet to be able to see them kind of in their world there. I didn't get to see a ton just because of the nature of the trip and also the flight disruptions along the way, which I think some of you heard about and were praying for, but they're just a sweet, sweet family. So continue to pray for them, and I'll share some more things along the way. But it is sweet to see they're doing well, and they feel the love and support from you all. The cards and everything that we sent over, Christmas tree ornaments and things like that were made. Thank you for just showering love on them, even at a distance. It means a lot to them, and I got to see that firsthand. So anyway, so from them to you, church family, they send their love back as well. The kids are with us here this morning, the past two services. And so this is one of the first times that we do service with actually even the preschoolers as well. And so preschoolers, you're welcome. We're glad that you're in our service with us, that we could be together as a whole church family. And I want to turn our hearts this morning to just the idea and again the theme of thankfulness. So if you turn to Colossians chapter 3, this is where Pastor Kevin walked us through this past Sunday. But there's a passage at the end, a few verses at the end I want to just look at for a moment, and then I just want to share things that the Lord did this past week during our trip. So Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. And God's word says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Three times in those three short verses, we're told as God's people to give thanks or to be thankful. In other words, God's people should be marked by, we should be marked by people of thankfulness and gratitude, hearts that are overflowing in thankfulness to God, who and all that he has done for us and all that he is doing in us and all that he desires to continue to do. And so that should be a marker for us. So this past week, we were in Myanmar, which I'm so thankful to the Lord that we were able to be back there. I'm not sure if I mentioned this before in one of the other services or past weeks, but When we were we've been working for 10 years in Myanmar, and seeing the Lord, many of you have gone with us on these trips, just building just a sweet partnership with the Burmese church there, and it's just been incredible. Well, then COVID hit, and we couldn't go because of COVID, so that kept us from going then. Then the very next year, the military took over the country. It was a military coup, and it was absolutely devastating to their country. So that completely closed the borders. And so every time that we would get ready to go again, we'd say, "Hey, Pastor Link, can we come?" And they would say, "No, you can't come. It is not safe here. You can't come." Year after that, we'd say, "All right, can we come this year?" And he'd say, "You can't come. It's not time yet." So we did that for so many years. We began to wonder, are we ever going to be able to go back? Like, we don't really know what this looks like long term. If you know the history of Burma, I mean, for decades they were under military control and closed country. So we didn't know what that looked like. Well, then one day, this is a few months ago, my dad calls me, and my dad's weeping on the phone, And I'm trying to understand what he's saying. He's like, hey, did you read the email from Ling? And I'm like, no, Dad, what happened? What's going on? And he's so crying, and he hangs up a phone. And I'm like, what is happening right now? So I go to my email, thinking the worst. I don't know what, have we lost somebody else? Like, what's going on? And in the email, Ling said, Brother Rick, Brother Jared, the time has come. We want you to come back. And so we were so thankful that we were able to be back there in this country for, even though it was just for a short few days. So as I think about my own heart, the things that I'm thankful for and the desire of my heart to be a man that overflows in thanksgiving, there's, as I think and look back on this week, I'm thankful for several things. I'm thankful for God's plan, that his plan is perfect in every way, even when I don't understand. So many of you guys were praying for us because along the way, we're on our way in, and we're supposed to land in Bali. We were going to spend a couple days there, and then we were going to take Sean with us for the pastor's training. Well, on our way there, we're literally on the flight. We make it almost there to Bali, and the pilot gets on and says, we're turning around. A volcano had erupted, and it caused, they said we couldn't land the plane. So they literally turn us around in the air and take us back to South Korea. Talk about discouraging. It was like, oh my goodness, what in the world? And so then for the next couple days, every single flight that they would schedule us on was canceled. And we're sitting there like, Lord, what is happening? We're supposed to, this is a good thing. We're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be, encouraging them along the way. And it just seemed like every single thing was being disrupted. So, of course, we do look for opportunities along the way. We look for opportunities on the airplane. We look for opportunities for the gospel in the airports and in the hotel. And the Lord did give us some really neat gospel conversations along the way. But what I would love to be able to tell you is that, the Lord held us in South Korea, and then revival broke out over the whole nation, and it was amazing. Therefore, there's the plan of God. There's been moments when I can be able to say that and say, man, this is amazing, and this is what happened. In this situation, I'm still like, Lord, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is, what the purpose was, why you delayed it this much. If not just to say, Jared, just trust me because my timing is perfect. And so I am thankful. Even though I don't fully understand the hiccups, the hang-ups, the disruption, I know that I can trust the Lord. And so I do. I trust the Lord no matter what. Because when things around me come crashing down and things around me are changing, the Lord is not changing. He is faithful no matter what. He is faithful when the schedule goes according to what I think it should, and then he is faithful when it doesn't. And so we trust in the Lord. We did make it. We made it to Bali, literally on the last flight that we possibly could have to make our next connection to get to Myanmar. And when I say last one, I mean we literally made it to the airport. We didn't even get to leave the airport. We took the bag, gave them to Jessica, and then grabbed Sean, and then hit the terminal to our next flight. It literally could not have been any closer. But we were able to get there, and then we hit the ground running in Burma. So in Myanmar, we've been working with, of course, Pastor Ling and his church there in the house church. He's got 30 orphans, which, by the way, if you didn't get one, the children made crocheted these little things for the girls in our church, and we have them in the back. So if you didn't get one, make sure you do. And then for anyone who's not here, we'll get them one for next week. So, but they wanted to give you all, give our church family a gift to say thank you for our love and support. And so we made it there, and we hit the ground running. With the first day was our kids outreach ministry, which they bring in kids from the community, and we just get to love on them, to share Bible stories, to play games, and it was a lot of fun. Although I realize I really needed some of you who are really gifted in children's ministry, because sometimes I get myself in situations when I don't know what I'm doing. And so at the very end of the day, we had some extra time. They said, hey, Pastor Jared, would you like to, teach the kids a game? And I'm like, on the fly, thinking, sure, okay. So the first thing that popped in my head was duck, duck, goose. And all they had, though, was this concrete, like really slick concrete pad that the kids could play on. And so wasn't my brightest idea, but we decided to play duck, duck, goose. And by the end, most of the kids were bleeding. And they really were. There was one kid, the very first kid I was trying to teach how to play the game. I was like, and then you know how to play duck, duck, goose. So you touch him and then you run and you got to beat him back to his. Well, he's running. And of course, I mean, he just wipes out and slides and he's got this big cut on his knee. And he's bleeding. And so Pastor Lynn comes. I'm thinking, oh, man, I've ruined everything. This is awful. Pastor Lynn walks over, spits in his hand, rubs on his knee, and smacks him and says, all right, you're good. And the kid was good. Like, he just kept going. So, teachers, now we know, when that happens here, just spit in your hand and just, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. If you're a guest with us, we will not be doing that to your kids. So don't worry. But it worked there. It worked then. But we had a lot of fun. We had a great time with the kids, and they are just absolutely precious. There was this one little girl during the Sunday morning. Actually, so they had all the kids in the Sunday morning service, kind of like we do today. She was like playing peekaboo with me the entire service. So I was kind of distracted, but she was adorable. But she was like peeking around the little curtain. And I had a video of it, but I didn't think to put it in time. So maybe I'll work it into another sermon one day, and we'll show you. But they were such a precious people. So I'm thankful that I got to be there. I'm thankful that I got to gather. But I'm also just thankful for the presence of God in the midst of the chaos. One of the special things that we did was the next day we got to worship with their church family, and I tell you what. So most of us will never fully understand the type of suffering that they have gone through and are still going through there. We just don't understand. We don't face that here, and so it's hard for us to truly grasp. I mean, here's an example. Pastor Ling, and his sister was abducted 2 weeks ago. Like, but just found this out when I got there. So 2 weeks ago, she was taken. They burned her house down. They burned down her little business, and they took her. And they don't know where she's at. The military's blaming the resistance army. The resistance army's blaming the military. And we literally right now don't know where she's at. And so we stop. And this is happening at church service. They're just sharing. Like, it's just normal stuff. Like, and again, I'm not trying to say that, like, a lot of times my prayer might be, hey, you know, I stumped my toe. Would you pray for me? And they're like, hey, my sister's been taken by the military. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just different. And so my prayer is, Lord, would you, like, I can't fully feel and understand exactly what they're walking through, but would you help me get a glimpse of it? Like, would you help me to know, maybe me being there was just a way to know, just to continue to pray for them when they face unimaginable hardship. But even in the midst of that, there's a joy. So we gathered with the church, and they were actually gathered about 30 minutes before the service starts. So, you know, Hope Valley time is kind of like we rush in last second. They were sitting, gathered. They were just waiting, expecting whatever it is that the Lord was going to do. And we had a special time of singing together. And just to see the joy on their faces is hard to grasp when you know what they're walking through. So in the city right now, there is relative peace. If you can call it that, because the military has pushed out the opposing armies or the militia into the states, the separate states in the country. And so the city is where it's, I guess you could call it safe for us to be. But right now they're still burning houses and villages and stuff out in the outskirts, trying to put on this front to the world, like, oh yeah, everything's okay. And then they're destroying people left and right around the country. And yet, they had this incredible, just profound joy. It reminds me of Psalm 16. I remember thinking about this as I was just watching them sing and lift their hands in worship. Psalm 16:11 says that in your presence, there's fullness of joy. So it doesn't matter what happens around us. It doesn't matter what is crumbling around us, because if you're in the presence of God and God is with you and he is for you, then there is joy that comes as a result. So we had this special time with them. Then we got to do our two-day pastors leaders conference, which was, again, such an encouragement because we get all of them coming from different places throughout Myanmar. And it's everything from Sunday school teachers to church leaders and pastors coming from different places, and just a time to share with them. At the end of the conference, I had a moment to just say, hey, if there's any testimonies that you want to share, we want you to do that. And so there's a man who stood up, and through an interpreter, he said, I just want to thank you all for coming. He said, your coming reminds us that we're not alone. He said, sometimes we feel alone, the Lord sending you is just another reminder that he is with us, that he is fighting for us, and that there's a church around the world that cares about us. And so even just the fact that we got on an airplane, yes, there was disruptions along the way, but the fact that the Lord allowed us by his grace to enter into the country, to sit and to talk and to hug and to encourage and to sing and to laugh was a way of just showing them God is with you and he loves you. He has not abandoned you, and he is here fighting for you. The presence of God is powerful. And the Lord desires us to be a part of that and has allowed us to be a part of that. And there could be even now somebody in your life who the Lord desires to use you as a way to draw them to him, as a way to show you, like, hey, you're not alone. Maybe even this week as you celebrate Thanksgiving, there's somebody that the Lord's placing on your heart that you know you just need to reach out to. That you know that they need to see the love of Jesus shine through you this Thanksgiving week. And so maybe even now as you think about that person, you can think about a way that this week you can reach out and be a part of blessing them through the Lord's presence in your own life. And I think finally, I'm thankful for just our position in Christ that is unchanging. You know, we've been reading in Colossians about who Christ is, what he's done for us, and then ultimately who we are in him. Kevin talked about this past week about our union with Christ that is constant and unchanging. And so no matter, even though we might wrestle, we might struggle with things in this life, and we do, we might wrestle and struggle with the flesh and temptation and sin, that does not change who we are in Christ and what we have because of our union with him. And so as Pastor Kevin walked through, I was listening to it on the airplane, just trying to process through it. One thing that struck me was just this union with Christ that we have been gifted by because of our identity in him. And so when it says our life is now hidden with Christ in God, there is a security, there is a safety, there is a confidence that we have because of who we are identified with. As I thought about it, the first thing that came to my mind was during this trip, of course, I travel with my dad quite a bit, but I don't travel nearly as much as my dad does. So my dad is a forever, like, million-mile club flyer, and he gets all the best treatment. So when he travels by himself, not when he's with a team, because, you know, you have a large team to deal with, but when dad travels by himself, and so because I was with him, I was able to enjoy a lot of things. So here's an example. We went through Detroit, and we had a little layover, so dad's like, hey, come up with me, and we'll go up here to the executive lounge, right? And so we get up there, and, you know, dad, all he has to do is give him his ticket, give him his passport, and they look at it, and they pull it up, and then, of course, they see his status, and they're like, come on in. And then they look over at me and they're like, who are you? Right? Like, who is? And here's what's incredible. So I have no status. I have none of the things. But what dad said is, he's with me. And so I get ushered in to the executive lounge with all the, you know, the food and the drinks and all those things and the nice chairs that you can recline in. And so I was able to enjoy not just that, but every step of the way. It's silly how ridiculous it is, but like, you get priority boarding and you get free upgrades, you get all these great things, right, that come when you're now a million mile flyer. Now on the way home, dad and I had to take different flights because I was going to go spend some extra time with the Johnsons. We had to change our flights. Dad got on a different flight. When I was making the changes, the person on the phone, the agent said, "Now, I'm going to have to disconnect you from your dad's itinerary, so y'all are going to be separate." And I was like, "No worries, that's fine." Until I get in the airport, and I get checking in, and I don't get any of the royal treatment anymore. And I'm like, "What's the problem here? Like, what's the deal?" No priority boarding. I get stuck in the back of the plane and all these things. I go to the exact same lounge that we were in, and I walk up. I give them the same, give my passport, and they're like, "You don't get in here, right? Like, no, you go back down there where everybody else is." What was different? What was different is that because I wasn't with my dad, I didn't have any of the privileges and the things that I once enjoyed because I was connected to him. Which, what's interesting is that the benefits that I enjoyed, actually, like none of that position was actually mine. It was actually his that I got to enjoy because I was connected to him. What I love, spiritually speaking, is that we have been connected with Christ, united with Christ, and it's never taken away. So nothing that we have, the redemption that we have, the adoption as his children, the inheritance that we have, the hope of security in eternity that we have, the help and the hope that we have in Christ is never taken away because we are hidden with Christ in God. It's never taken away. That is who you are in Christ. And you get to enjoy all the rights and all the privileges as a son of the King of Kings. And nothing can ever take that away. So as we think about Thanksgiving, talk about something to be thankful for. Thankful for the status that is never taken away from us. We can never be disconnected from our Father. And then as I think about thankfulness, the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke 22. So we're going to transition now into a time of communion together. Worship team, you guys could come on back up here. In Luke 22, beginning in verse 17. Let's begin in verse 14. It says, "When the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And so Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this, divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And then he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.' So Jesus gathers his disciples for one final meal. We see that Jesus, it says that he gives thanks. It's the same words, the word Eucharisto, it's where we get the word Eucharist from, literally, but just means to give thanks to God. Thanks to God for who he is. Thanks to God for his marvelous work in salvation. In this moment, Christ is literally thanking God for the elements that symbolize the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. And so as we come before the table to give thanks, to remember and reflect on the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, the new life that is offered to every single person because Christ willingly laid down his life for us. What I want us to do is just take a moment to just remember and reflect. And as we always do, this is a moment that we take seriously. So it's not something that we do flippantly or casually, but we come before the table and we do so humbly. We do so with hearts of confession, repentance before God. And so if you're in here this morning and you're not yet a believer, you're not yet a follower of Jesus, then our request would be just to watch. Just to watch and see as we take these, what it's symbolizing, what it's pointing to a sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross, who did it for you and did it for me. We have the little kids in here today, and that's incredible, and it's beautiful because they get to see mom and dad for a moment partake in a beautiful symbol and expression of what Christ has done. And so I'd invite you, parents, to explain to your children what this is. Explain to your children what you're doing. And let's use this as a way to continue to shepherd and point our children to the Lord Jesus. So now I'm going to invite the worship team to sing for us. And I'm just going to invite you just to stay seated. And just reflect and pray. If there's specifically something on your heart that you need to make right before God, this is a great time to do that. Maybe there's a relationship that needs to be mended. This is an opportunity for that. Or if there's just some need that you have on your heart and you want somebody to pray for you, I'll be down here and just invite you to come. Or maybe just to come and kneel at the altar and pray. But as they sing, I would encourage you to meditate on the words of this song as you offer your prayer to the Lord.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace. Around the table of the King, body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. Blood that cleanses every stain of sin, shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. Table of So with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again and we'll join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King.
So now as we come to take communion together, I want to invite you just to come and grab, get a cup and some bread. And if you want to make your way back to your seat, and then once everybody's been served, then together, we'll do this together as a church family. So go ahead now, invite you to stand and come forward and receive the elements. Jesus came, he said that he was the true bread of life. And then he gave up his body to be broken for the sins of the entire world. So that for that first time, he gathered his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, take this and eat and do so in remembrance of me. Scripture also tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus comes as the true Lamb of God and sheds his blood, not for his own sins, but for the sins of the entire world. And so then Jesus takes the cup and says, this represents my blood that's being poured out for the sins of the entire world. And so we remember and we take and drink. So God in heaven, right now, we just want to extend hearts of thankfulness and gratitude to you. We thank you, O God, for sending your Son, your only Son, that he would come and die in our place, the death that we deserved, and raising to life, offering salvation to anyone and everyone who will believe. Thank you, God, that invitation extends even today. And so I pray even now, Lord, that there's somebody here who does not know you, that by your grace and through your Spirit would you draw them to you, that new life can begin today. We thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for the body. We thank you for the blood. Lord, we desire to be a people that overflow with thanksgiving. And so, and even now, as we sing, Lord, would you receive, would you be honored in the praise from our lips? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.